Now we move on to audience participation. I think we're competing with the State of the Union tonight, so I'm not sure if anyone is going to have anything to say.
That explains it. And school board maybe too.
And school board maybe, yeah. But a remarkable in either way. Let's see. So audience participation.
There's a hand up.
Oh, somebody does want to say something. It's Jack Estrada. Hi, Jack.
Hi. Hello, Anna. Thank you. I just wanted to say hi. You asked for participation. I thought I'd say hello. So you got no participation, and I'm here, you know, so hello.
Well, lovely to see
Glad you.
Glad
you joined us.
Yeah. Good to be
welcome.
Here.
You made us feel important, so thank you so much.
I didn't want to be a fly on the wall.
If there is anyone else on the line that does have something they wish to contribute, they can press *6 at this time to unmute themselves.
We don't actually have any callers tonight. I was a little concerned that we had the wrong code up or something, but I've checked it like 10 times. I can't. It all seems correct. I don't.
I was having a blunt moment, so yeah, just ignore my pleas earlier.
Oh, there's Steve. Okay, perfect. There you are.
I think it's just the fewest number of people that have ever participated in any meeting, I think, since I've been a commissioner.
Yeah.
Not
bad. I think we have unfinished business at this point regarding committee reports and discussions. And don't know that I have much to contribute as I missed the financial meeting this week. And let's see if I just blow through these. Was there a CCC meeting, Trish?
Yes, there was. And I think I'm pretty sure Gail was not able to attend that. It was very interesting and a very exciting thing happened. Mickey Von Dassau, who's head of the EOC, applied for funding for the healthcare career pathways training initiative. And this would be for home care aides, training for home care aides. And he applied for a 2-year funding for that, which was approved by the CCC. So that was very exciting because that just ties right in with the care coordination grant and what we're doing with the planning grant. So that was just really awesome. So, yeah.
Commissioner Lamb.
Yes.
Could I request that you ask the CCC to add me to that? Because I need to be on that. Pam sat on that and she is not here anymore. Or tell me who to talk to.
Hey.
Okay. Sure.
Probably Jack.
Rachel Lucy or Jack Estrada.
I'll pretend you asked me, Nathan. How's that sound?
Would someone please ask Jack Estrada for me? He's awfully hard to find. So
yeah, I will. Although I don't have the final word, Rachel does. Trish is correct. So I will. I'll talk to Rachel tomorrow. I think we can make that happen.
Thank you, sir.
Yep.
We'd love to have you join us. Yeah.
I'll try not to bring down the collective IQ.
Okay, and so I don't know, Lainey's on the line. She can tell us if the EMS and Trauma Care Council met or not. I don't know if they did
meet.
Oh, okay.
And it was not all that exciting. We spent a bunch of time dealing with getting, really the bulk of it was getting dates for some ongoing training, continuing education that is grant funded. And there was little else really covered. You know, reports from what everybody's doing and nobody's doing anything different. Yes.
Wonderful. Thank you so much, Lainey.
We're all getting used to Lainey no longer being the being actually on that committee, which is kind of an interesting change for us all.
I just don't have Nathan. I still hold the vote. I just don't hold the chair position or a position on the executive board.
And okay, well, we usually have 4 or 5 people from EMS at that meeting, so a lot of us attend.
And then I don't believe there's anything on the civil investigative demand still.
I haven't heard anything, and I'm starting to wonder if we ever will again.
I know, me too. Maybe it'll just go away. That would be nice. The financial committee, I believe, met yesterday, and I was not available. Everett, do you have anything to share with us? I heard you had to sign a lot of things.
Well, yeah, in some respects, it was as usual, no really big surprises, but it felt really good because really there's the people that we have working both at EMS and at the PhD are doing a real bang up job in organizing. They're finding things that have been lost and straightening things up. And, you know, as evidence also, I mean, it's been going on. It's ongoing. It's not to say it just suddenly happened. But, you know, as evidenced by our audit, by our state audit, it feels like we're getting our house in order. Mm-hmm. And continuing to address liabilities that we've had, and so that we're starting to get really more of a true picture of where we are financially, and I feel like we're just in a lot better shape just because things are more clear, less cloudy. So yeah, it was actually, though, yes, I did get writer's cramp from signing a bunch of papers that I thought I had signed or we had signed before. It was a symptom of how things have really gotten tight. They've gotten nice. I mean, they've gotten good. So very positive. I feel really good about it. So that's the overall impression. Thanks.
Thank you. Great. There was the IIHF and Long-Term Care Council. Trish, was there anything on that?
You know, I am not really certain. I mean, I know what the Inter-Island Healthcare Foundation is, but I'm not sure that I'm a part of that. I mean, certainly if you're talking about the grants, the care coordination grant, the planning grant, is that part of what that means? I mean, it's not spelled out that way, but
it's long-term care, so yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
Can I just clarify?
Oh, sure. Go ahead.
Yeah, the board voted to delegate you to represent the district to the Inter-Island Healthcare Foundation. Does not mean you sit on that foundation.
Okay, I'm not. If they're having meetings, I've never been invited to one.
Yeah, they don't invite outsiders, but you would, in theory, be the one to liaise with them.
Oh, okay. So I would never go to one of their meetings.
Unless they invited you.
Oh, okay. Gotcha. I guess I'd like to talk then about just how much more I understand, grasp our care coordination grant and the work that's being done. And I just listened to a podcast today with two docs talking about the changes that we must be making in our very dysfunctional healthcare system nationwide. And part of that is care coordination. And it's so exciting because what is happening through this 3-year HRSA grant is just going to springboard us to where we need to be locally, regionally, nationally, with managing chronic disease. 88% of the COVID deaths were people who had 2 or more comorbidities. So those are 2 other chronic diseases, with number 1 being unmanaged hypertension. And this just goes right back to the work that we can do with this care coordination grant and the trained healthcare workers, and I have yet to sign up for that, but I'm going to be taking that training myself. It's Kathleen and John Salinas who have taken the training and are the first two volunteers to be working with Kyle Davies in the grant. And this, it's just very exciting work, and it's absolutely essential to the future of all of our health and well-being and managing chronic disease and aging in place and staying out of the hospital. So anyway, I'm excited, really excited.
Great. Yeah. Thank you.
I did get, this is Nathan, and we can talk about this under my reports, but just while we're on the subject, we did get the notice of award today that makes me the project manager for the care coordination grant. So we've managed that transition. I already had the one for the planning grant, which, whole other story, but yep, anyway.
Makes you official. Good. Okay. And as far as Community Relations Committee, I don't think we had anything official. Of course, Trish and I tend to talk to the community, I think, just as regular. I talked with a lot of people about annexation and why mm-hmm. they should vote for it. A lot of people.
Ditto. So me too.
It's just yep. I got a lot of text messages. I got a lot of emails. Mm-hmm. I had a lot of questions. I'm sure mm-hmm. maybe some of you, the rest of you did yes. as well. So I did yes. a lot of that this last month, and I'm really happy that it was so well supported.
Me too.
Yeah. So on both on the town and the district side too. So it's good.
Yes.
Our districts have aligned.
It is time.
Yeah. So I think that might wrap up unfinished business if there isn't anything else, and we can move on to new business. We do have a new dispatch agreement with San Juan County Sheriff's Office. I don't think it's a much of a change from the previous one, but we do need to approve it. Is that correct, Superintendent?
That is correct. Yeah, it's the same one we had. Nothing, no changes. We reviewed this contract pretty thoroughly last year, mm-hmm. made some changes. This is just a renewal.
And when you say same one, same fees as last year too? Same amount?
That's correct, Commissioner.
Okay. Thank you, Superintendent Butler.
Okay, is there anyone else have any questions on this? Okay, in that case, I would entertain a motion to approve the supplemental fee agreement for 2021 with San Juan County and San Juan Island Emergency Medical Services for dispatch services.
I move to approve supplemental fee agreement for 2021 with San Juan County. Yeah, as you said, that's not quite what it says on there. Anyway,
that's just my county yeah. and yeah.
This is with the San Juan
County EMS
office. Yeah, an EMS.
Not the sheriff's office. It's just San Juan County.
Just San Juan County. Sounds good.
You're right. I will second that. Is there any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Thank you very much. And that moves us on to Resolution 21-546, the update of financial accounts.
I'll move to adopt Resolution 21-546, the update of financial accounts.
Fantastic.
I second that.
Now we're going to have some discussion if people are curious about
it. Any discussion? I know Nathan said I would regret wanting to discuss this, but it's incredibly comprehensive and detailed.
And it's like happy to read it in the record verbatim, every line.
Careful.
Okay. No, it all looks like it makes sense to me. I'd like to thank Superintendent Butler for trying to streamline a lot of our financial issues, things related to bank accounts and signers on those accounts, our line of credit. and credit cards as well. I think I did have one question. Oh yeah, there was one line that where the district authorizes the superintendent to resolve any issues that this resolution fails to foresee or address and to interpret the district's intent expressed in this resolution. And I was wondering, isn't that a power already there? Doesn't that authority already exist? And if not, what are we approving with that?
Well, I just was worried we missed something in the resolution. We try to be really comprehensive, but banks being banks, they're likely to nitpick at any possible mistake in this or to try to interpret this their way. And I can just point to this line and say, no, the board gave me the authority to interpret this. And this is what we all understood it to mean and to expect them to make the changes we need. The other alternative is to basically track down every signer on all of these accounts, bring them in and have them, you know, some of these likely have Michael Edwards on them still, you know, I mean, so I just didn't want to risk having the resolution not accomplish what we needed to accomplish because of some small error.
Right, because you and I have been sort of doing a bit of a dance with them. We've gone in to resolve these things, and they're like, well, we need proof that the board had a motion that approved this. And then I've gone, you know, and then I found like none of the signers are actually any relevant commissioners, you know, or current commissioners. And it's been a little complicated. So I think your intention with this is to cover every single base and have it, you know, stand up to any questions arise.
Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off.
That's okay.
Say they won't even talk to you if you're not a signer. It's just really hard. So just basically going to take this resolution in and set it on their desk and say, please allow us to fix this.
I know.
I think we lost Commissioner Loring, though. He cut off in the middle of that.
Uh-oh. Well, I have had been spending quite some time in the chair there at Banner Bank trying to work this out. So I feel like this is important that we get sorted out. So is he back?
Hopefully it'll save you time.
Yeah, I hope so. Well, so he made a motion and it was seconded. So we've discussed. If there's no further discussion, I'll call for a vote. All in favor of resolution 21-546.
Aye.
Aye. Thank you.
Thank you.
So let's see. Now we've got, you know, for quite some time, well over a year, we've been talking about updating personnel policies and having job descriptions. Oh, good, you're back, Kyle. Great. I think you're muted.
Oh. I am. Yeah, sorry. Apparently when it says the battery is running low, it's serious.
Oh, dear. Okay. Well, we moved on.
Like a car, you can go another, 30, 40, 50 miles, maybe, depending on the car. The computer, it did not give much advance warning.
Yeah.
Like, anyway, sorry.
That's a robot, no humor.
We moved on to our next item and went ahead and just approved that last document. And I was just saying that this next the next few things here are housekeeping things that we've been talking about for quite some time about having personnel policies, job descriptions, you know, and also bringing much of what our job descriptions and our, you know, PTO and salary and or in pay to in line with where the county is at for similar jobs, so we're competitive and also equitable. That explains all of this detail that you have in front of you. And Nathan, did you want to add anything?
No, I just wanted to make sure you were all comfortable with the broad strokes of this before I allow staff to review. And hopefully we can adopt this at the next board meeting. So I'm not asking the board to adopt this tonight, but to some extent, even drafting these changes, you know, makes waves, hopefully good ones.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't want to move forward without the board say so. I think
from an employee standpoint, these are all really positive changes that I see. So.
Yeah, we're going to, we needed to give people more time off, but we didn't want to increase our cash out liability. So giving people holidays resolves that. You can't cash out a holiday. So it gives people more time off without increasing your cash out liability. Mm-hmm. It also has some other advantages for us. It spreads them out a little bit through the year. And there is a certain efficiency penalty when people take time off at different times. You know, there's some advantage to having everybody take, say, New Year's off. It's overall better. So, and then the other thing was standardizing pay scales, so they're not quite as arbitrary. So those are the main things. And this affects office staff, but not our community paramedicine director of outreach. But it does affect the rest of the office staff. And these policies actually apply to the whole agency, but the sections that apply to other parts of the agency aren't changed in very meaningful ways. But it did need, you know, there are things like removing Medivac from the name of San Juan Island EMS, and there's, you know, clarity on the employee categories. We used to have medics in the union, but, you know, nobody else was. So there is a lot of clarifying language to update these policies, but they're not really substantive changes for most of our staff. We spent a lot of time on our operations staff over the last 6 months. You know, we signed a collective bargaining agreement, and then we spent a lot of time working on the in-station staffing for medics. But we've also seen during that time, as we've resolved liabilities and issues with the past, the expense of administrative mistakes, and having a motivated, experienced, well-qualified administrative staff is essential for the functioning of our district, and not needing to pay large back pays or penalties of various kinds. We would have been better served to pay Tina $75,000 a year and keep her rather than, 2 years ago, rather than going through five different office managers. In fact, we would have been better off, would have been cheaper to pay her $120,000 a year. We would have saved money. So to some extent, you know, it's better to treat your people right and take care of them and keep them. And there are, you know, when we were hiring for the hospital district specialist position, you know, everyone else was hiring too. The town of Friday Harbor was hiring, you know, the fire district started hiring at the end of that. I know that other, you know, it's just a general problem. And I think, you know, Linda even addressed that in her report, how hard it is to find staff. So we can't afford to lose our staff. We need to value them. And I thought it was time to spend, to give some attention to their needs. Just because we haven't, you know, since I've come in, we've just basically been frantically trying to sort things out. And that's taken a ton of effort on their side, and they've not really been given any, attention really to show appreciation and to show that we value them. So that's the intention here.
Thank you. I'm all in favor of that. I appreciate your work on this.
Yeah, and I do think it, thank you, I appreciate that. And I do think it's consistent with what other agencies do. It's consistent with what the county does. It's competitive, but it's not at all excessive. It's reasonable. So I felt pretty pleased with how it turned out.
Thank you for all your hard work, Superintendent Butler and Sally. I mean, putting all of that research together, and I am absolutely in favor of bringing our administrative staff up to par with anybody that would be in a similar job within the county. I mean, we value each and every one of them, and they deserve to be making a competitive wage. So. Thank you. Mm-hmm. We want to keep everybody.
We do. And we need people taking time off and, you know, generally feeling taken care of.
So. Oh, wait. Could you say that again, Nathan?
I didn't say anything.
What did you say?
I didn't hear anything.
Take time off.
I misspoke.
Superintendent Butler.
Everyone's trying to take time off.
I think Steve had his hand up. Did he? Well, he did anyway.
Okay.
Okay.
Any questions on this, though, that I can answer, commissioners?
No, I don't have any at this point. Thank you again, Mr. Butler, for putting this together. I'm a big fan of communicating expectations really clearly and transparently, and this is a great way to do that with another aspect of the staff that we have and managers for everybody. So I think it's really helpful to update those policies, including, of course, the dress code.
Yes, the dress code.
Yeah, that was a Thank you.
All right.
I'm on a Teams call.
Oh, Steve, we can hear you.
I don't think he realizes he's not muted. I'm gonna mute him.
Now he came through. He was probably trying to talk earlier.
He probably was. Okay. Well, all right. So if we're happy with all of this, we can move on to reports. And in that case, I will hand things off to our superintendent.
All right. Good evening, commissioners. Let's see. I am experimenting somewhat with different approaches to reports. I love your feedback on what you like and don't like, and also with the documentation. I had staff help me prepare some of this. You can see from the financial packets, you've got a pretty nicely collected set of financials that we've tried to label, and there's a table of contents. But to some extent, what goes in those packets is up to you. We've done things a certain way for a long time, but they don't necessarily have to be done that way. We can add things. You want detailed payroll reports, we can do that. You want fewer things, we can do that. We can provide you whatever it is that you would find most useful to you. We do spend more time on the financials with the finance committee, and I've tried to take advantage of the board's formation of that committee, which is a new change. It's only been the last year or two. We've always had a financial officer, but not a committee. We met Commissioner Clary and Commissioner Lindstrom, myself, to talk over these personnel policies earlier in the month, and got their guidance before even putting things in paper and sending it to the board. If you commissioners have comments, one thing I think would make sense is I think we should probably reduce the volume of things from the hospital district side. Do any of you make use of the detailed warrant lists? Do you read the individual warrants from the hospital district? Do you look at those?
Review them in our financial meeting, but I don't necessarily need to see them again.
Right. And you don't see them for the EMS. So if you do want to see the warrants, we should probably do them for both. But anybody have feelings on that?
Feelings about the financials? I don't have strong feelings about that. I usually look through them just to see if there's a number that piques my curiosity, looks out of the ordinary. But I assume that number would be elsewhere in the financial reports, and we do the same as well without having to be in the actual warrant itself.
If you find it valuable to look through the warrants, then we should add them to the EMS, though. Because the EMS warrants are usually much bigger, more extensive. So it's just really a question of what you want.
And I think, wasn't a previous commissioner one that asked for extra information or changed at some point?
Let me see if I can find a copy here. So one-page warrant summary that Pam always did, and it basically lists in one place the it's sort of a, well, I don't have an example here. But you guys know what I'm talking about. It lists all the warrants on one page.
Yes.
Do you find that valuable? Do any of you look at it?
Is that the one with just the warrants listed in the amount, the dollar amount associated with it?
Yeah.
And the one that we all sign?
No, it's the one that Pam usually put at the end of her report. Very end. And I should have had an example ready for you. Sorry.
No, that's okay.
We can pull it up. Don't worry about it.
Let's see. Well, anyway, it's that information is well captured elsewhere. You have to pay. You have the expenditure report that lists all of them. I find that a little bit redundant. She also did the cash analysis at the start. I do like that. I think that's useful. So I thought we'd continue to do that. Do you like having? I mean, I don't intend on putting timesheets in the hospital district reports.
No,
we don't need that. No.
I think that Pam did that because she reported directly to the board and there was no one else involved. She wanted to be very transparent, but our only hospital district employee, Steve, reports to me and I review his payroll. So I don't think it merits inclusion with the board reports any more than it would for any of my other employees. And I've got lots of them. I don't show you all their timesheets. So I think I'm going to make those changes. I think that'll make the hospital district report just a little more streamlined. I did add on the EMS reports information about, you know, billing reports, which we've not generally shared with you in the past beyond the the aged receivables with the chart at the end. Did you guys like having?
I like having those, but I know that those were a function of a previous board when I came on initially, because there were so many outstanding payments that they were trying to tie up all those loose ends, and that's sort of where that came from. I don't think we're in such a difficult spot in that way now, but I do think it's useful information.
I do as well. I think we should be paying attention to accounts receivable. And one of the things that Sally and I have been working on is actually reconciling those and making sure that we're accounting for and auditing the flow of money, that the billing is being done properly. It's mostly something that's been ignored, but we intend to actually reconcile it every month, check it just like we do our monthly financials for the district. We're big on financial accountability. You know, we need to track things. But on the other hand, I don't want to bury you. So I think as we go, we can adapt just a little bit. But the most salient accounts receivable report is the month-end summary and the aged receivables. Do you guys agree?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. These reports are not particularly easy to read. They're quite complicated. If you like, and I, you know, if you're having trouble sleeping one night, we can take a recording and you can play it at nighttime, save you some napkin. But we could go in detail through these reports so that you can understand how accounts receivable work and understand where the flow of money. You know, property tax, it either comes or it doesn't, right? I mean, we have very little say over that. But accounts receivable are a meaningful portion of our revenues that we have some say over and that we need to be responsible for. To some extent, that can be taken care of by finance committee, though. So it depends some on what the whole board wants to manage itself and what it wants to delegate to the finance committee. And then those things which you just trust me to handle. And there are lots of things you just basically trust me to handle. It's why you employ me. So you don't have to pay attention to the minutiae of everything. So it's just, but it does come down to a comfort level. So take a look at those. I'm happy to have some feedback. I'm going to make some changes along the broad strokes that I've outlined. Anybody have any comments on thus far?
No, but thank you. It's important to think about how to streamline the process and, you know, save people time.
Yeah. There's got to be a balance between accountability and what you can feasibly deal with. Mm-hmm. Given your responsibilities. Just spend a moment more on financial stuff. I know it's not terribly exciting. I'm going to share my screen here. I think we need to, it's this one. All right, should come up briefly. This is the detailed 2021 tax distribution by taxing district. This is released by the state, by the county auditor's office. It's important to track the change to our levy as we go. Here we are at the bottom. San Juan Island Hospital number one and San Juan Island Hospital EMS. Can everybody see that?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So the hospital district levy is down to 33 cents or around 34 cents. We were at 37.50, I think, last year in 2020. This, you know, the tax levy rate drops because assessed values are going up, but you can only collect an additional 1% per year. So your tax levy rate goes down. So we're all the way down to about 33.5 or 34 cents. Our maximum allowable is 75 cents. And you can see below, Lopez Hospital number two, Orcas Hospital number three. You can see the 67.7 cents for Lopez, 65 cents for Orcas. This represents in a really meaningful way the success of the hospital district here in Friday Harbor, where we provide an entire hospital with all the services that it has at about half the rate they pay on Orcas and Lopez. And that's the value of our partnership with Peace Health. Also note the EMS levy at 38 cents, we are allowed up to 50 cents. So as we talk about levy renewals and that kind of thing, there's quite a bit of room for the future if we need it. And this has been a problem in the past. These have been pretty recently released just in the last month or two. We just haven't had a chance to talk about it yet. I know it's not terribly exciting, but if you track these numbers each year, you can see about how much we're changing each year. And particularly if we're going to contemplate long-term care investments, you can look at the hospital district number one levy, $3.4 million or so. You could roughly double that with some change if the public approved it, which is actually quite a bit of money. You look at the entire deficit of the Life Care Center was, I don't remember if it was $500,000 or $1 million, but per year, but it's certainly within the capacity of the district if it needed to. All right. Exciting stuff, I know. Any questions?
No, I think it is exciting to know we could raise it potentially, if we could ask for a raise to fund more services for people, for the community. I think that's exciting. I am just noting that the Fire District 3 is 44 cents.
Yes, that's great. Go ahead.
Yeah, and it's just interesting that EMS does what it does for 38.
Yeah, EMS tends to be much less resource intensive than fire. You know, our main expense is staff. I know ambulances are expensive, but they're nothing compared to eight fire engines. It's a totally different thing. So fire has always been capital intensive, but low volume. Part of why fire and EMS often goes together.
Right.
Fire district number three here, 44 cents, 1.5 million. The reason it's levy let me say it another way. So this does not include the town of Friday Harbor, because the town of Friday Harbor does not pay property taxes. So if you look at the fire district, fire, San Juan Island Fire and Rescue, look at their budget, you're going to see significant line items for revenue from the town. It's, I think, $350,000 or something. And their levy is significantly less than ours because they do not provide EMS. You can see on Orcas, they have, you know, quite a bit of, you know, revenue, but they're doing both. So, and you can see how small Lopez is, you know, and they really struggle with, you know, they only have three medics. They have no staff EMTs. They have quite a bit less call volume, but it's I don't envy Chief Bigby. It's a challenging context to be sure. So any other questions on this before we move on?
I don't have any questions, but I do have a couple of comments. For me, the millage rate, that percentage rate, and its decrease over the last year speaks more to values, real estate values on this island, and maybe all of them actually, than it does to what we're doing as a service. And so I think as we move forward and as we have conversations about what we can do and what we can do for the amount of tax money that we would look to say increase if we were going to do any other services, I think it's really important to put that within a certain context. And even comparing with the other islands, it's a little bit hard to know what people get for that money. And so that's how I'd like to look at it. You know, like let's say we pay less as a percentage here on San Juan Island than Orcas or Lopez. What are they getting for that as a community? Like, do they pay the same amount when they go to get a service, or do they pay less, for example, when they receive the service itself if you're a community member doing that? So having some of that larger context for me would be really helpful if we have this conversation going forward too, a little bit.
Yeah, all of which is fair. You know, anytime you compare something, you have to be somewhat cautious. It's not directly comparable. Nevertheless, I still think it's pretty evident that we have a pretty good bargain, that as a hospital district, we've done a good job and taking care of our people. It's not to imply that Lopez and Orcas are not. They're challenging contexts. And you know, I have to keep in mind, you know, they're dealing with a smaller population base, but they, you know, the cost of certain things like a building are going to be roughly the same. And if, you know, you might have the same land area, you know, Orcas Fire and Rescue, they've got a smaller population base, but they don't necessarily have less land to cover. And if you got to fight fires, you've got to have stations and, you know, rigs across the island. So it's not directly comparable. So thank you for that. Anything else on this before we move to the next item?